So welcome back, Cougar Nation. I'm here on Cougar Nation Sports Weekly here with Bryce Thompson. Tate isn't able to join us today. He has work. But we're here with Jacob Edmonds, the owner of a Jimmer Fredette fan page and a Yoli Childs fan page on Instagram. And so that's going to be the focus of our podcast today is Yoli Childs and Jimmer Fredette. But Jacob, we just wanted to know a little bit about like how you got started with the fan pages and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I've been running the Jimmer Watch for about 6 years now, which is a long time. I started it back in 2014. I think it was like right when it was Jimmer's third season with the Kings. And I guess the reason I did it, no one else was doing it. And it's funny actually, it was Kevin Durant's MVP season. And LeBron James was like praising Kevin Durant or something. And he said, yeah, like I have a Kevin Durant watch app on my phone so I can see how many points he has. And when he said that, I was like, hey, I should do that for Jimmer.
Yeah.
So I did. And I mean, the rest is history.
Yeah. It's been a grind, I'm guessing.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun to build a community and to like, especially since he's gone to China and gone to Europe and stuff. It's kind of hard to find those stats and highlights and stuff. So it's cool to provide that for people.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a different experience for people because, like, they're so focused on the NBA and all the people, like, locally, but then they don't realize, like, the whole world of sports outside of the United States.
Absolutely.
So it gives them a cool perspective on, like, a different – yeah. I mean, I wish Jimmer was in the NBA.
Yeah, but... me too.
Yeah. All right, so I guess let's start off with Yoli Childs. So when did you start that fan page?
Let's see. I think I started that in February. So since I've got back from my mission, I kind of had the idea that I wanted to expand a little bit. So I have a couple different pages, but I started the Yoli Childs one in February.
Okay, cool. So we just want to talk about like what, like in this whole COVID-19 situation, what kind of advantages Yoli has over people in the draft and kind of why we've seen him jump up so high in draft ratings so far.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously prospects aren't able to work out for teams. Teams are basically having to just go back and look at a lot of film. They're doing Zoom interviews. So Yoli is interviewed with a handful of NBA teams. And it kind of gives him an advantage because he has 4 years of work for them to look at, and he's improved his game every season. And so if they are able to go and do deep dives and look at what he really brings to the table, then kind of gives him an advantage that way compared to maybe some of these other prospects who there's not as much film to look at, or they're playing overseas. And so there's kind of more question marks about them.
For sure. Yeah. Bryce, what's your opinion on like what gives Yoli an advantage and like what's good about his game?
I just think one of his advantages is he can like shoot the three. That's a big thing for like, cause he's going to probably play like the small forward position and stuff. It's really a big advantage,
especially in the NBA. Yeah, for sure. I think watching him his freshman year compared to his senior year, his game has changed a ton. You know, he was 40%+ from 3-point this year.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's something he's added to his game that I think will help him a ton in the NBA. Like NBA scouts and stuff compared Yoli to I think it was Paul Millsap. Do you think that's a good comparison, or would you compare him to someone else?
Yeah, I actually love that comparison. And there's a great interview Yoli did with Brian Kalbrowski of Hoops Hype. And Yoli said that Paul Millsap's one of the guys that he loves to study of, to watch film of. And I love the comparison because, you know, they're both kind of undersized forwards.
Yeah.
And I was looking at some of the scouting reports of like Paul Millsap before he was drafted. And they're saying like a lot of the same stuff, like undersized, not very quick laterally, maybe some defensive concerns, but an absolute beast on the boards. Both elite rebounders. Like Millsap was a bit better in college. He led the NCAA in rebounding for like three consecutive seasons.
Yeah.
But Yoli Childs, I think, has that potential to be absolutely an elite rebounder for his size in the NBA. So yeah, I love the comparison.
Yeah. I mean, I think I watched Paul Millsap on the Jazz when he played for the Jazz, and I could see Yoli taking somewhat of that type of role where he's not necessarily like the star player, but he's definitely a large role player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where he's, yeah. They can definitely count on him. Like he can score, he can rebound, I feel like he's a pretty good defender, but he can do pretty much anything you need him to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's underrated as a defender.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So I guess we can phase over into Jimmer now. So what's Jimmer's like status with like his contract with the team in Greece and everything like that?
Yeah. So basically last summer, Jimmer signed with Panathinaikos in Greece. He signed a 1-1. He has a player option that allows him to consider opportunities in the NBA or China. However, due to COVID-19, obviously revenues have gone down because the EuroLeague season got canceled and his domestic season got canceled. So teams in Europe don't have as much money. So they've asked, Panathinaikos has asked Jimmer as well as other players on the team to take a pay cut. Some have rumored his pay cut to be as much as 50%, which is huge. And so,
yeah,
technically he's still under contract with Panathinaikos right now, but I would be, quite frankly, I'd be shocked if he stays in Greece next season.
So what's your, like, if you had to choose between like what his next step would be, what do you think it would be?
Ooh. So he's always kind of said that he wants to choose obviously the best situation for him, but also the best situation for his family. And so
yeah,
I think he'll explore his options. There's rumors of teams that are interested in him in Europe. I'm sure there'll also be teams interested in him in China. But
for sure,
I don't know, because there's going to be bigger contract offers in China. So I'd like to see him stay in Europe, but I honestly wouldn't be surprised if he ends up going back to China.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a crazy situation. I don't think it's something anybody would have expected to happen. But, yeah. And then, so I've heard rumors about him as, like, a free agent in the TBT, which it was hosted in Atlanta a few years ago. And so me and a friend and I, we went and watched him, and it was a game he dropped 43 points in. So that was a fun experience. So just, like, do you know anything about, like, if he's going to play in that or, you know, that kind of thing?
I don't think he will, just because the TBT starts, I think it starts on like the 4th of July or something. So that's in only like 10 days. And so yeah. I wouldn't rule it out, but at this point I would say I don't think he would be playing.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think his chances are of like possibly, like, do you think he's not interested in, like, the G League or anything like that?
The G League is actually interesting because, like, if he really, really wanted to play in the NBA, I think the G League would be an option. But kind of at this point in his career, I think he wants to maximize the money he can make and the experience he can have. And so, personally, I don't think he would consider the G League at this point in time, but I mean, you never know.
Yeah. So you see, like, his motivations are less about making the NBA and more about maximizing the thing, like, what he's already started.
Yeah. Cause I mean, he's kind of had his shot in the NBA. I mean, he's played for, I don't know, six teams, and it hasn't really worked out for him in any of those situations. So if the opportunity presented himself, I'm sure he would consider it. But yeah, at this point, I think he's just trying to maximize the last however long he plays in his career.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, so we're going to phase over into football for a second. So last week we covered BYU versus Utah and what we thought would happen in that game, what we thought the key to success would be. Bryce, what do you think the number one thing that we need to do against Michigan State at Lavelle Edwards the next week to come out on top of that one?
I think the number one thing is just to start out strong, because we don't want to fall behind to a Michigan State team who can easily destroy us.
Yeah, for sure. Starting out strong is super important. I think the whole Michigan State team, it's one of the bigger question marks on the schedule, because they got a new head coach. We don't really know much about them. So, yeah, it's a huge question mark in my opinion. But I think the key is just to keep the plays explosive, keep everything moving so that we don't get stuck in complacency where – and we don't want to keep our defense on the field for too long either.
Yeah.
All right, and then I want to talk a little bit about Isaiah Heron. So last week he said that he was entering the transfer portal, planning on transferring to an HBCU. And then about a week later, he said that he changed his intentions and was planning on coming back to BYU this season. What do you think that changes about your expectations for the defense and all that kind of thing going into this season?
I think it's a good thing that he's coming back, because we were really shallow on the defensive back end, and him coming back is going to bring a lot of experience. It can really help the team develop.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't realize how much of an impact he had on the team last season, but I went back after he said he was entering the transfer portal, watched a few of his highlights and everything like that, and realized that, you know, he played a huge role in the defense last year. And honestly, like, respect to him for, like, entering the transfer portal, planning on transferring to an HBCU, because, like, that's one way, if you're trying to make a change in, like, the community or whatever, that's one way that is for sure, it's a way that actually makes something happen, makes a change, rather than just being complacent, I guess.
I was really surprised he actually came back, because BYU is mainly white people, and that's basically the reason he wanted to leave, because he was the minority. He didn't really like it. I'm surprised he came back.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe he thought, like, you know, he could help them and understand from a black perspective what it's like, and help them to, I guess, realize their biases and that kind of thing. But, yeah, I think it'll be a good experience.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining me today. We'll have another episode next week. Thank you, Jacob, for joining us. And all you Cougar Nation people out there, be sure to go follow the Jimmer Watch and Yoli Central on Instagram. And stay tuned for next week's episode.